Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I hope you enjoy it. But first, I want to ask you a question. Are you someone who has high upside potential in your business, and yet sometimes that goal is just hard to get to, and maybe the only way you've seen to get to it is just to make more calls, you know, work harder? Well, if you're fed up with using old strategies to solve new problems, then I might have a solution. It's my 5-day Million Dollar Seller Challenge. We meet 1 hour a day in a coaching intensive where I will teach you 5 moves that you can make to scale your results without working harder. To learn more, click the link in the show notes or go to milliondollarsellerchallenge.com. Hey gang, welcome back to the Bill Caskey Podcast. I am so glad to be with you today. I think you're really going to enjoy my special guest. His name is Jay Mamie. He's written many books on selling. I'm going to actually put the links to these books, or at least the titles, in the show notes so you can access it instead of reading them all to you. He reached out to me here a couple of weeks ago. He hosts a radio show in northern Texas on a Dallas radio station and talks about business. He's an entrepreneur, and he talks a lot, and he's written a book about selling, kind of the mindset of selling. And you know we love that topic. And he goes a little bit in a different direction, a little bit deeper in some areas than we have. And I thought you'd like to hear some of his perspective. So here's my interview with Jay Mamie. Well, Jay Mamie is our guest today. Jay is, I call him Mr. Eclectic. He does a lot of things: entrepreneur, actor, author, radio host, and who knows what else he will tell us he does today. Jay speaks to us from North Texas. He is host of that radio show on 570 AM KLIF in Dallas. Jay, welcome to the show.
William, I really appreciate you having me.
You reached out to me here a few days ago, and so I thought, well, here's a guy who's done a lot of things in his life and has written several books. I said author. But I want to get into a little bit of that. But first, why don't you, we talked a little bit earlier today. Your story's fascinating. Can you give us a kind of a couple-minute rundown on who the heck Jay Mamie is?
Well, Jay Mamie is actually a body double. I do have a twin.
Good.
His name is Joe Mamie, and we are adopted twins from a Hispanic household. My parents came here from Puerto Rico in the 1960s. They settled in Spanish Harlem, a place called El Barrio, New York, which is where I'm originally from. And my parents had decided, after my mother not being able to bear children after 3 attempts, they decided to adopt. And the story goes, they went down to the agency. This is back in the 60s. You could just show up and say, I want somebody, and they'll give you somebody. And they got a BOGO deal, buy one, get one.
Uh-huh.
So they went home, and needless to say, it's economically challenging enough to raise one child, let alone two, in those days. And my parents had to, my mom had to stay home, stop working at the factory. My father had to pick up a fourth part-time job in order to make ends meet. So it was economically very, very challenging for us. So I grew up in meager means, just enough to put food on the table and clothes on our back, didn't have all the fancy stuff that kids had. And it was a rough neighborhood where you could easily find ways to get into trouble if you really wanted to make money the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my brother decided if we wanted to have the new pair of sneakers and all the cool things the kids had, that we had to go out and figure out a way to make money on our own, doing it the right way. So we started a picking up bottles and cans business for a nickel. And when we were 13 years old, and that really started in me an entrepreneurial development, where today it's flourished, and it continues to flourish in many expressions.
So when we talk today, we hit a little bit on the idea of, you know, you came up in not the best of worlds in terms of the, you know, economics. And I think a lot of us who grew up in the 60s and 70s, we had decent housing and enough to put food on the table. But like you said, my parents never dressed me in anything but, you know, hand-me-downs and rags. But there was something kind of glorious about that, because when we looked around and said, well, I guess if it's going to be, it's going to be up to me to do something. And tell us a little bit about the attitude that upbringing might have given you.
Well, the reality is that you can either become a victim of your environment, okay, your environment will shape you and shape your destiny, or you could certainly decide that this is not who I am. I will not become a product of the environment, and I'm going to bend the will of the universe. And I decided to do the latter. And for me, I look back on my life now, and I think about those challenging times as a blessing. They developed in me a character of determination, of hard work, of grinding, of recognizing that everything that I've been able to accumulate, it's a blessing. I'm very appreciative of it. I take nothing for granted. And my story so far, and it's still developing, I still have a lot more to go and a lot more things to do, but now it becomes a testimony. And I think the greatest thing someone can walk away with when they exit this existence and they exit this dimension is to be able to have someone say, that guy left us a positive role modeling of how to thrive even in difficult situations.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good. Well, when we were doing our pre-recording chat, we talked a little bit about, and we're going to shift to sales now, since I know that you've written several books about sales and sales psychology and some devotional books. And so I'd like to get into a little bit of that, because I think that most of my audience, either VPs of sales, presidents, sales managers, or sales professionals, anybody who acquires customers or builds and grows accounts listens to our, they're in my audience. So when we started talking about the psychology, I really was struck by it, because I don't think enough people are talking about it. We talk about the psychology of the buyer a lot. We don't talk about much about the psychology of the seller. And so why don't you, if you could give us a few minutes on kind of how you happened on that topic, and then we'll dive a little deeper into some of the strategies.
It's interesting. I have written a handful of books on psychology of selling, subliminal sales techniques, prospecting, closing, a number of different areas in sales that I think a lot of novice sales professionals struggle with. But I realized that at a certain point about 3 years ago, as I was speaking with a number of different individuals, even in my own organization, which I've trained and hired financial representatives, I realized, you know, after a while, you can provide enough training, techniques, tactical stuff, product training, as much as someone could utilize. But why is it that that person who's probably overtrained still struggles, still doesn't excel, their performance never reaches any peak, and they're trafficking at that novice level? And then you have those who don't need much, but they soar. So there's got to be more than training. It's got to be more than motivation. And I realized, okay, so what's happening behind the scenes? And then I started to really dip back into my academic degrees of psychology, behavioral sciences, social work. So I said there's something that has to be going on behind the scenes. And I didn't have to go very far than my own life. I said, let me see what's going on in my head, and why do I struggle, and why do I have starts and stops at times? And I realized that I was dealing with a lot of head trash, a lot of inner struggles, what I call invisible enemies that I had to deal with, and I had to face them in order to realize these stumbling blocks are going to stop me from moving forward, regardless how much more training I have personally. So I wrote this book called Battling Invisible Enemies, Facing Inner Struggles Head On, for myself. I had to talk to myself about what's going on here, Jay. What's the deal? Why do you get up in the morning and you're in the battle already and you haven't stepped one foot on the floor yet and you're swinging? Right? So it took some time, and I wrote this book, and as I wrapped it up, I gave a copy to my brother, who's a sales manager in New York for pretty big real estate company. And he said, Jay, you nailed it, man. He says, don't keep this to yourself. Let's get it out to some folks. And of course, my wife, who helps me publish my material, we got it out there. And I tell you, Bill, every person who's read it, whether in sales or not, they could have a job and that requires a better performance of them. They've all said this has been this has met us exactly where we were at. We're struggling with these invisible enemies. So it's become my bestseller by far, because it's dealing where people are right now. And I think 21, after a year of 20, a book like this is probably needed more now than ever.
I agree. I've devoted a lot of episodes recently and a lot of my posts online to the mental health of the sales and sales management functions. And, you know, a lot of companies still did pretty well in 2020 and they're looking decent in 2021, but there's an underwriting churn that's happening now because of all the stuff that's happened, a little uncertainty and, you know, the ground beneath their feet's been shaken a little bit. And so I would anticipate your book being even a bigger seller in 2021. Let's talk a little bit about, you said to me that you didn't say you were reluctant to publish it, but you had some thoughts about, is this really going to be accepted? Is this really what the world wants? And of course it is, but tell me about some of that resistance.
Well, you know, I understand entertainment. I've been in the entertainment world. If you are going to be asked to speak in front of a group, the last thing they want, especially in a peak performance setting, top sales professionals, in a format where there's a lot of inspiration and motivation, the last thing they want the speaker to talk about is the guy who's struggling with depression or discouragement or doubt and anxiety and stress. These aren't sexy topics. No one walks out of there fired up. To myself, okay, so this is one of those books where the person who will read it probably won't let anyone know that they're reading it.
Not going to be a big gift, Christmas gift.
No. You're not going to find the guy in the office reading this before morning, before he makes his calls. it's one of these under the radar, underground books.
It's kind of like we used to do with Playboy magazine. We'd hide it somewhere. That's what your readers would do.
They hide it. Exactly. Yeah. We know it's there. We'll go back to get it, but don't let anyone see us reading it.
And yet, we laugh, but I know high achievers. I mean, $500,000, $1 million people who still struggle with this stuff. So it has very little to do with financial success. Who was it? E.E. Cummings said, be kind to people because you never know what battle they're fighting inside. And I've seen people who are million-dollar earners fight huge battles inside. Sometimes it's imposter syndrome. Sometimes it's out of their comfort zone. Sometimes they don't feel deserving. So we all have battles.
There's no question about it. Listen, we're human. And one of the things that I talk a lot about in my talks, in my videos, when I get a chance to get on stage, I'm a very real person. I don't speak in Pollyanna. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not highfalutin in a way that I have to be so impressive that you lose your sense of humanity. I tell folks, listen, whether you realize it or not, we're formed with the same organics, the same chemicals. We breathe the same air. We have the same bone structure. We have the same infrastructure. We have the same brain in terms of left hemisphere, right hemisphere. We're the same. What separates us is usually our environment, but not even that much, because my environment, if you looked at my environment, you would say that guy has got a future that is probably going to end up somewhere behind bars or in the corner office with a green outfit and a broom. Right? Right? Not about your environment. It's about that you make and the experiences that those decisions bring forth. And a lot of bad decisions, a lot of bad experiences is going to foster what I call the downward spiral. I wrote about that in the book, the downward spiral, where you get caught into the spiral of worry, leads to stress, leads to anxiety, leads to fear. And now you're on your way down to doubt, disbelief, discouragement, depression. And it can happen to anybody in a split moment.
Yeah. It's a cycle that can take you down pretty quickly unless you are practicing some kind of serious self-reflection or self-awareness, mindfulness, whatever you want to call it. And we are so busy, we are reluctant to spend any time with ourselves. And sometimes, like you said, you probably had a lot of one-on-one talks with yourself when you were going through some of this. And this is what came from it. Something came from it that's going to help a lot of people.
The most ambitious people have the greatest battles.
Yeah. Wow.
So the folks that are at $2 or $3 or $5 million a year of production or income or higher or greater, they got there because they're highly ambitious and highly driven people. So it's almost like a double-edged sword. The higher your ambition, the more you're driven, the chances are the greater the battle. Because you're always striving for that next best version of yourself, and internally even though you've done well, you still struggle with, am I good enough to get there? Because you're ambitious, because you're driven. The person who has really nothing going on, they're not really motivated. They're just living what I call a quiet life of desperation or a quiet life of settling. They probably aren't going to battle much with enemies or struggles.
No.
Because they've got nothing that's driving them. More driven ones, the greater the battle.
So let's get into a little bit of psychoanalyzing a salesperson or a chief executive, it doesn't matter what. But give me a couple of things that you think people struggle with in the context of what we just talked about. It could be something really specific or it could be something general. What do you see people struggle with? And then let's talk about some solutions.
Well, let me give you a very real example that just happened about an hour ago. My brother, I mentioned him earlier, my brother is a pretty successful real estate manager for a pretty decent-sized firm in New York, and he has his sales meetings on Thursday mornings. He always, well, I shouldn't say always, but often enough, he'll call me the day before and says, you got anything I could share? You've got a joke? You've got something that I could open up my meeting with or tip? And I always give him something, whatever I've got. So tomorrow's his first meeting of the year. So he's asking me for ideas and what he could introduce. And the conversation really evolved into him questioning and doubting whether or not his sales force really see the value that he brings them week to week. So he questions whether the value is perceived by his sales force or if he's really himself seen as a valuable person. So either is the content valuable or is he valuable to them?
I think that's a very real reflection that a lot of sales leaders face and feel. Absolutely. And they won't admit it, but I think there's a lot of that. But go on, sorry.
No, listen, you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And I was in a meeting last Wednesday, and the gentleman of that company, very successful in financial services, he was echoing the same thing. He's got a pretty sizable sales force. I said to my brother, I said, look, one of the things to recognize is that not everybody's going to appreciate you or your efforts. That's just the world that we live in. That's the world of sales management. It's just the way that it is. But they have to respect, if nothing else, your time. And do they really understand the time that you put into preparing? And do they value it? Do they respect it? And what kind of return do you think you can get from them if they really did? If they really valued, if they really understood and respected the time that you put in, forget about the content, forget about you, the time and the effort. I think if you have them, if you can help them understand that whether or not the content they find valuable, whether or not they find you valuable, to at least respect the time.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about a few other things. And that helped him feel better. He was at a place where he started to feel doubtful. And that helped him kind of get through that little bit of a stumbling block.
Yeah, that's really good. Because, you know, self-doubt creeps in. Rumi had a saying that, you know, self-doubt, I'll have to edit this out. What was it? Something like that. Self-doubt and fear can come visit your mind, but don't let them take up residency. And sometimes they do, and we don't even know it. And then we start to doubt everything we do, whether it's a podcast or whether it's a sales call or whether it's building our business plan. Is this really enough? Geez, it sounds like a lot. I don't know if I can do that. So self-doubt enslaves us sometimes, and we don't even know it.
It's disempowering.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you carry self-doubt on your face, other people will see it. If it's so obvious on your face, I used to tell one of my young directors of a company, I used to tell him, do you believe in what you're saying? And he says, absolutely. I said, then would you tell your face?
Because I ain't buying it.
Right. Yeah. I said, because I don't believe what you're saying.
And we all think we're clever enough to hide it, mm-hmm. but we really don't.
That's right.
Yeah. So give me another struggle that maybe a salesperson, you talked about contact sales manager, another thing about the mental and emotional side of achievement that you find people struggle with. And then I want to ask you a question about potential and how we help people get to their potential. But what's another one?
Let me give you something that's close to your answer, and I think you'll see why I say that. I put out a video not too long ago called The Struggle. This is what the entrepreneur, the professional, the sales pro, and even directors struggle. And I did it tongue-in-cheek, and I said the struggle of EDD. Now, most people in that video, when I put the acronym EDD, they figured, oh, boy, that's erectile dysfunction. <Yeah. laughs> And so when I opened up the video, I said, it's not what you think. I'm not talking about that struggle. Right? That's not the struggle. Right?
There's other videos for that one.
Right. I said, you can go to another channel for that one. I said, EDD is entrepreneurial delusion disorder. Mm. Entrepreneurial delusion disorder. Every salesperson struggles with it. Every sales manager struggles with it. Every entrepreneur struggles with it. Is where you deceive yourself to thinking that you're doing all you can.
Hmm. Yeah.
You get into this place that you are convincing no one else but yourself that you're doing all you can. You're performing at your best. You're giving it all you've got. You're fully committed. You're fully in. There's nothing else you need to learn. You're good. All is well. And that's delusional. So one of the things that I always talk to people about is let's address this EDD, see if you're struggling with it, because the symptoms, I'm looking at them, you've got EDD. Your numbers don't reflect how confident you think, how confident you are about your performance.
Yeah.
You don't show up to any training. That means you think you know it all. And you're not willing to learn more, so that means you've got an issue with pride. Those are all symptoms of EDD.
Wow.
And there's a whole talk I give on that, which is really funny and is fun, but it addresses what I think hurts more organizations, which is having too much people run around with EDD, and it certainly hurts the individual himself, unless it's pointed out, just like any disease.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. That's because we all get kind of defensive, and you know, as a trainer, somebody goes into companies, business to business sales teams, and works with them. And the first question I always ask is, you know, what's not working? Where can it be better? What's working maybe 50%, but not working all the way? Sometimes it's a struggle for people to come up with it because we live inside our own soul all day long. We don't see ourselves the way others see us, and so all we know are the positive things. And there's always room for growth. I mean, there's always something you could be doing even slightly better. I'm not talking about working an extra 4 hours a day. I'm just talking about slight variations in language and technique and strategy. So I love that. EDD, we all have it. Well, Jay, how can people get your book, follow you online? If you have a social media presence, tell us how we can follow you.
A number of ways. You could certainly visit my website, which is DJMamie.com. You could also look at my show website, DJMamieTalkShow.com. Mm-hmm. I'm on YouTube. Google DJ Mamie. You could find me on YouTube. You could find my training YouTube channel, which is Survive to Thrive. That's the YouTube channel for training. I have tons of videos on there on prospecting and mindset.
Awesome.
I also have my Facebook page, DJ Mamie.
So if people go to vjmamie.com, and that's MAYMI.com, they can find all the other channels from there, correct?
All my goodies will be on that
homepage.
Awesome.
Well, Jay, it's really been a pleasure to get to know you, and I hope this will be valuable for you. We're going to get it out here in the next couple of weeks, and I think this topic is extremely relevant all the time, but especially right now. And I really appreciate you spending time this evening talking to us.
Hey, I appreciate you inviting me, and I hope it helps someone.
Awesome. Thanks, Jay.
You're welcome.